How the hell was I going to accomplish anything today with that new piece of information?
Chapter 5. Soraya. It was a beautiful, not a cloud in the blue sky kind of day. I stared out the window, trying to figure out what the hell had gotten into me. I'd been around good-looking men before. Dated some, even. So why did being anywhere near Graham J. Morgan knock me back to being 13 years old and nervous when the cute boy sat down across from me in the school cafeteria? I hated the reaction my body had to him. There was a chemistry that came naturally and was nearly impossible to clamp down. I couldn't fight what came over me the same way that I couldn't force the chemistry that was missing with Jason, the last nice guy I dated. Being on an earlier train this morning, I totally wasn't prepared to come face to face with Graham. When our eyes locked, his pupils dilated, and for a split second, I thought maybe he was having the same physical reaction to me that I had being near him. But then, he looked away, completely unaffected. His barely acknowledging my existence was a virtual rejection. Yet my hands were still shaking when his first text came in. The only good thing was, at least the shock of seeing him didn't appear to have registered on my face. He had no idea who I was, and I planned to keep it that way. Ida interrupted my thoughts. She plopped a thick stack of unfolded letters on my desk. Who really writes a letter and mails it to an advice column in this day and age? Hello, email. Are you there? It's me, the 21st century.
Think you can work on some responses for the internet column?
Sure, I can do that.
Maybe this time you can make the advice appropriate.
I was feeling pretty fucking inappropriate this morning. I'll try.
Try isn't good enough. Get it right this time.
She slammed the door to her office, and I stuck up my middle finger. I told her. I spent about an hour sifting through the pile until I found a few letters I thought I was capable of responding to Ida-style. My first few drafts resulted in wadded-up balls of paper that missed the garbage can. Then, I realized there was a trick to shoveling out shitty advice. First, I would draft the response how I thought it should read. Then, I would change each sentence to the exact opposite of what my advice would be. Amazingly enough, the two-step process seemed to really generate that Ida-esque vibe. Dear Ida, last year I caught my boyfriend cheating on me. He said it was a terrible mistake and promised it was a one-time thing. After a lot of heartache, I agreed to stay committed to our relationship. But I just can't get over it. There is a man at work who I'm very attracted to. I think that if I slept with him, it might help me. Can two wrongs save a relationship? Paula, Morningside Heights. Step 1. Dear Paula, yes, two wrongs don't make a right, but they make a hell of a good excuse. Go for it. Sure, a relationship requires commitment, but then again, so does insanity. Cheating isn't a mistake. It's a choice. Be real. Once a cheater, always a cheater. Get even. Ride that hottie, then leave before your boyfriend does it again. Step 2. Dear Paula, no, two wrongs never make a right. If you are truly committed to saving your relationship, you should avoid temptation at all costs. People make mistakes, but they can also learn from them and change. To err is human. To forgive? Divine. Be divine. Trust that he won't do it again. Ride it out if you truly love him. After I had gotten the hang of it, I knocked out 2 days' worth of responses before giving them to Ida to review. When my phone buzzed midday, I was excited, expecting it to be from Graham. As ridiculous as it was, I really looked forward to his angry, horny texts. Disappointment settled in finding a text from Aspen. I had forgotten all about our date for tonight. My immediate reaction was to cancel. But instead, I lied and wrote back I was looking forward to tonight. He was a friend of a friend who I met at a party and seemed like a really nice guy. Plus, sitting home and waiting for a text from a man who would never have an interest in a woman like me was just plain sad. After work, I made an effort to look nice, hoping it would change my mood. I slipped into some tight jeans and a bright purple shirt that showed off my abundance of cleavage. Adding a sexy pair of strappy black studded sandals, I looked in the mirror. I looked damn good. Screw you, Graham Morgan, who didn't think I was worth a second glance. Living in Brooklyn, I usually met my dates wherever we were going. Public transportation wasn't exactly conducive to picking people up, which worked for me, since I wasn't particularly fond of giving virtual strangers my address. But Aspen planned to take me somewhere out on Long Island, so he had picked me up.
I hope you don't mind. I just need to make a quick stop.
Sure, no problem. Unlike when we had met at the party, the car ride was filled with awkward conversation. I had to ask questions to keep the conversation going. So, where are we headed? You mentioned a club.
It's a comedy club. I don't go on until 9.
You're performing?
Yeah,
he shrugged.
Figured 2 birds, 1 stone.
Something about his response bothered me. It implied that our date was a task. But I tried to make the best of it. It had been a long time since I went to a comedy club, and maybe he was trying to show off to me. When my phone buzzed in my bag, I peeked to see who it was. I hated to admit it, but part of me wanted it to be Graham. Aspen pulled into the lot and parked.
I'll just be a few minutes.
He was leaving me in the car? Where are we? I looked around in the darkness. There was a 7-Eleven to the left and White's funeral home to the right.
I have to stop in at White's. My aunt died.
Your aunt died?
Yeah, I'll just be 10 minutes.
He started to get out.
Unless you want to come in with me?
I'll just wait here. What the hell? I sat there dumbfounded in the parking lot. He was essentially taking me to his aunt's funeral, then to work. When my phone buzzed again, I figured I could use the distraction. Graham, how's your tongue? Soraya, better. The swelling has gone down. Graham, I've been worried about it all day. Soraya, is that so? I smiled. My conversation with the gorgeous perv might be the highlight of my date with Aspen. Graham, what are you doing right now, Soraya? I heard his sexy voice rasp the question in my ear as I read his text. The hair on my arms stood up. My body had it bad for this man, regardless of what my brain said. Soraya, I'm on a date, actually. My phone went quiet for a long time. I started to think that was that, but then it vibrated again. Graham, is it safe to assume it isn't going well since you're texting during it? Soraya, that would be a safe assumption. Graham, what's his name? Soraya, why do you want to know? Graham, so I have a name to put with the man I suddenly dislike. Again, I was smiling at the damn phone. Soraya, Aspen. Graham, he's an idiot. Soraya, and you know that because of his name? Graham, no, I know that because you're texting another man during his date. Soraya, I suppose if I were with you, I wouldn't be texting? Graham, If you were with me, you wouldn't care where your cell phone was. Saraya. Is that so? Graham. It most certainly is. Oddly, I tended to agree with him. I sighed and decided to share the details of my pitiful date. Soraya. He took me to a funeral. Graham. For your date? Soraya. Yep. Graham. I hope you're texting me as you walk to the closest train. Soraya. The funeral is out on Long Island. I'm kind of stuck with him for the rest of the date. Graham. There's more than just a funeral? Soraya. Yes, he's taking me to work next. Graham. Come again? Soraya. LOL. Graham. Where are you? I'll come get you. Was that nice from Mr. Big Prick? Soraya. Thanks, but I'm good. He stopped texting after that. Worse, Aspen returned to the car. Things got progressively worse from there. Upon arriving at the comedy club, my date proceeded to down two vodka tonics. When I mentioned he was driving us home, he told me he knew his limit. Apparently, he didn't know mine. 3 minutes after he got on stage and told his first few bad jokes, I took a trip to the ladies' room. Then slipped out the back door. $11 in cab fare later, I was waiting for the first of what would be 3 trains to get back home. Maybe I needed to take a hiatus from dating for a while.
Chapter 6. Graham. I was in a piss-poor mood all morning. Come to think of it, my anger started to surface sometime last night. Right about the time, the woman with the body of the devil and face of an angel told me she would rather be on a date with some asshole who took her to a funeral for a date than have me pick her up. If I didn't have an early meeting again this morning, I would have gotten on that train and told her exactly who I was. Staring at the image of her luscious tits on my phone again, I realized exactly who I was. Pretty much a stalker lately. And that pissed me off even more. Screw her and her date. Rebecca. I pressed the intercom and waited for my secretary to respond. Nothing. Rebecca! The second time I roared so loud the intercom wasn't necessary. The whole fucking office had to have heard me. Still nothing. Throwing a file on my desk, I stomped out to my secretary. A redhead was sitting at her desk. Who are you? I'm Lynn, your secretary for the last 2 days. She furrowed her brow as if I should know what the hell she was talking about. What happened to Rebecca?
I don't know, Mr. Morgan. Would you like me to find out?
No. I'd like you to get me some lunch. Turkey on lightly toasted whole wheat with 1 slice of Alpine Lace Swiss. Not 2. 1. Coffee? Black.
Okay.
The receptionist at the front desk controls petty cash. Talk to her. She smiled at me, but didn't budge. Well, what are you waiting for? Go!
Oh, you wanted me to go now?
I grumbled and headed back into my office. It was early afternoon when my phone vibrated and flashed a new picture of Soraya's legs. She had never initiated our texts before. Fuck me. This woman was going to be the death of me. I needed to get her to agree to see me. Graham, show me more. Soraya, that's all you're getting. Graham, you're such a tease. Open them for me. Soraya, no way. Graham, suddenly you have morals? Soraya, I have my limits, and showing you between my legs is definitely a hard limit. Graham, and there is definitely no limit as to how hard that would make me. In fact, just imagining it is giving me a hard-on right now. Soraya. Perv. Aren't you at work? Graham. You know I'm at work. Why did you text me your legs then? You're trying to rile me up. Soraya. It doesn't take much. Graham. You won't show me your pussy.
At least let me hear your voice. Soraya, you've already heard my voice before? Graham, yeah, but you were being belligerent. I want to hear how you sound when you're wet and horny. Soraya, and how do you know I'm wet and horny? Graham, I can just sense it. Soraya, really? Graham, yeah? My phone started to vibrate. Soraya, my voice was intentionally low and seductive. Hello, baby. Don't baby me. Just the sound of her voice made my body buzz with excitement. My voice sounded strained. I want to see you. I need to know what you look like. God, I need to touch you. I don't think that's a good idea. Why not? I don't think we're right for each other. I'm not your type. Raising my brow, I asked, and what exactly is my type? I don't know. A snobby rich bitch? Someone who compliments a stuck-up suit such as yourself? A deep laughter rolled through me. A stuck-up suit, huh? Yes. You're pompous and you think you can walk all over people. Well, there's only one person I want to be all over right now, Soraya. All over you. How did you get to be such a prick anyway? Why is anyone the way they are? We're not born that way. It's learned. So being a jerk is an art you've mastered? I'm a jerk because... I hesitated. Because I don't want to deal with the bullshit that inevitably comes when I let my guard down. What happened to make you want to put your guard up? What's with the deep questions, Soraya? I don't open up to women I haven't even fucked. If I let you screw me, you'll tell me all your secrets. My dick twitched just thinking about being with her. I'll tell you whatever the fuck you want to hear if sex with you is on the table right now. Exactly. My point exactly. Even though we were arguing slightly, I could sense the humor in her tone. I somehow knew she was smiling along with me and enjoying our little exchange. Clearing my throat, I said, "All right, let's turn the tables on you. How did you become such a snarky little pistol?" "I've always been this way." I chuckled to myself. Somehow I believed that. She seemed to be naturally spunky, not putting on a show. This was who she really was. "What do you do for a living anyway, Soraya?" "What do you think I do?" "That's a loaded question." I scratched my chin and put my legs up on my desk. "Based on the little I know about you, an amazing set of tits and legs, I'd say maybe you're a go-go dancer in some dark, smoky club." "Well, you got the dark and smoky part right. My office is dreary and my boss likes to sneak butts." "It better not be your butt he's sneaking." "Jesus, pipe down before she thinks you're a jealous lunatic." "He is a she, and there's cigarette butts she sneaks behind closed doors in her office. I work for an advice column. It's a lame job, just pays the bills." "I actually think that sounds very intriguing. What column is it?" "I'm not sure I should tell you. You might try to stalk me at work." "Wouldn't that be ironic? Are you not remembering how I was first introduced to you?" "It's Ask Ida." "I feel like I know that name. She's been around for years." "That's right. Mom used to read it." "My mother used to read that column. What do you do there?" "I weed through and answer some of the submissions that come in through the website, and I assist Ida." I laughed. "So you give advice to people?" "What's so hard to believe about that?" "I need some advice." "Okay. How do I get you to agree to see me?" "Trust me, sometimes it's better to keep things a mystery. I don't think anything good can come of us getting together."
"Why is that?"
"You'd just be using me for sex." I had to ponder whether she was right. The sexual attraction was off the charts. But deep down, I knew this connection with her was far deeper than that. I just couldn't figure out where it was coming from or what it meant. Soraya had lit some kind of fire in me that I couldn't extinguish. Getting her naked beneath me was definitely a goal. But it wasn't just that. I needed to figure it out. Not to be a dick, but I can get ass any time I want from almost anyone. That's not what this is about.
Then what is it?
I don't exactly know, I said truthfully. But I want to find out.
She was silent for a few seconds, then seemed to withdraw. I think I should go.
Is it something I said?
I just need to go.
All right, then. When will we talk again?
I don't know.
Then she just hung up. Soraya Venedetta fucking hung up on me. An urge to chase her down overtook me. Calm your dick, Graham.
My stomach growled, making me realize that incompetent Lynn never returned with my sandwich and coffee. Approaching the front desk, I asked,
"Where the hell is my secretary? She was supposed to be back with my lunch."
I'm afraid she notified the agency that she's not coming back.
Fucking great.
My head ached from caffeine withdrawal. I returned to my office and grabbed my jacket before heading out to the deli down the street. Opening my laptop at the table, a brilliant idea came to me. I looked up Ask Ida's website and decided to submit a question in the hopes that it would reach Soraya. I began to type.
Dear Ida, there's this woman I can't seem to get out of my mind. She texted me pictures of her tits, legs, and ass, but won't let me see her in person. The only reason I can think of is that she's really ugly and afraid to show me her face. How can I get her to agree to see me and to understand that not all men are as shallow as she seems to think? Stuck-up suit, Manhattan. Laughing to myself, I closed the laptop and finished my pastrami on rye. This woman was even making me eat like shit. I made a few business calls and checked in on Mimi at the nursing home before opening my laptop once again. A response from Ask Ida was sitting in my inbox.
Dear stuck-up suit, it's quite possible you are drawing the wrong conclusion. There is no evidence to suggest that this woman is ugly. Perhaps she is just not that into you. You may also want to look in the mirror and consider the fact that an ugly personality is a far greater deterrent than an ugly face ever could be.
Bending my head back in laughter, I marveled at this woman's wit. That mouth on her. I couldn't wait to fuck it. Aside from the fact that she was funny, honest, beautiful, sexy, and unlike anyone I'd ever been with, there was a part of her that seemed vulnerable and guarded. I wanted to know more about why she was so afraid of me. This kind of curiosity was not characteristic of me at all. While that was unsettling, my need to get to know her superseded everything else. Sitting across from her on the train without blatantly ogling her was truly an art form. Much like a ventriloquist who operates a dummy without moving his lips, I had to somehow stare at her without her knowing. This particular morning, it was really a challenge to keep it subtle, not only because she looked so goddamn hot, but because she wasn't alone. A heavily tattooed man who looked way more her type than I was sat next to her. They were talking and laughing, and I wanted to basically snap his pencil neck. My blood really started pumping when he leaned over and kissed her. I couldn't tell if it was on her face or her lips because of my only being able to sneak glances. He then got up and exited the train, leaving her behind. The jealousy within me that previously had been lingering under the surface had now become blinding. It was so blinding, in fact, that I wasn't even thinking when I suddenly typed out a text. "Who the fuck is he?" She seemed to freeze before slowly looking over at me. Her already pale skin turned nearly white. Her head had lifted and met my gaze instantaneously. She knew it was me. Had she always known we took the same train? I thought about it some more. Without any hesitation, her eyes had landed straight on mine, as if she knew exactly where to look. She'd been pretending not to know who I was all this time. She must have looked up my picture online. I couldn't figure out how well she knew it was me, but that really didn't matter anymore. All that mattered was that I was now face to face with the woman who had infiltrated my mind, body, and soul from the moment she opened her big mouth on that intercom. My stop was next, but I wasn't going to get off. Well, truthfully, I was getting off on something else. This highly tense staring contest. It dawned on me that she was also absorbing the fact that I, too, knew her identity. She suddenly got up. Her stop must have been coming up next. I followed suit, walking over to the exit and standing right behind her. She was staring at my reflection in the glass of the doors. My mouth curved into a smug smile. I was like a Cheshire cat who'd finally caught his little mouse. A hint of amusement shone through her expression. When the doors opened, I followed her out, walking quietly by her side. We were both moving very slowly, unsure of where to go or what to do. When the rush of people seemed to all disappear up the escalator to the second level, we were nearly alone on the subway platform. I suddenly gripped her waist, forcing her to turn around and look at me. Soraya's chest was heaving, and I could feel her body trembling. My own heart was racing. To know that I was having that kind of an effect on her was surprising. Arousing. So fucking arousing. The smell of her powdery skin was practically making me high. That, in combination with the warmth of her body so close to mine, had given me a raging hard-on. I was like a teenager about to cream my pants in a $3,000 suit. When I slowly moved toward her, she walked backward toward a large concrete pillar. I backed her up against it and wrapped my hands around her cheeks, planting my lips over her mouth. She opened for me as my eager tongue went in search of hers. All life around me disappeared. The sound of surrender she made into my mouth egged me on to kiss her deeper. Her warm, ample tits felt like an electric blanket on my chest. The cold metal of her tongue ring against the heat of my own tongue sent what felt like spasms through me. If we weren't in public, I couldn't imagine being able to stop at just kissing her. I wanted nothing more than to take her on this platform. She pushed me off of her and cleared her throat. "How did you know it was me?" I caressed her bottom lip with my thumb. "I'm not answering that until you tell me who that guy was kissing you." "That wasn't a kiss. It was a peck on the cheek. It was my friend Tig. He met me for an early breakfast this morning."
"Friend, huh?"
"He's very married. His wife is also a good friend."
"So there's nothing going on there?"
"No, but if there were, I wouldn't owe you an explanation." She wiped her mouth, which was likely still sore from my attack. "So tell me how you knew it was me."
"The feather on your foot, genius. Your feet were in the picture of your legs. I used that tattoo to identify you. I've been watching you for days. You were apparently doing the same to me." She didn't deny that she knew who I was the entire time. I moved my mouth closer to hers. "Did you like what you saw? Is that why you kept texting me? When I first realized it was you, I couldn't believe how fucking beautiful you were. So all that talk about you thinking I might have been ugly was a crock of shit? I'm so unbelievably attracted to you, Soraya. And your body right now is telling me you feel the same way about me.
It doesn't matter how good-looking you are. You're a dangerous human being."
"You have no idea how dangerous I am when I want something. I will stop at nothing to get it. And there's nothing more that I want right now than you. But if you can honestly tell me that you have no interest in me, I will walk away, and you'll never hear from me again. If the fact that you're shaking in your boots right now is any indication, you're feeling exactly what I am."
"I don't want to feel this way about a guy like you." Hearing her say that was a real buzzkill. What the fuck kind of a human being did she take me for? I might have treated people like crap from time to time, but I wasn't a goddamn criminal, for Christ's sake. "Let me tell you something, Soraya. I may not be the nicest guy on the planet or even the best fit for you. In fact, I know I'm not, but you can't deny what's going on between us. There's only one end to this."
"And what's that?" "Me buried deep inside of you?"
"That can't happen."
"Every damn night I dream about that fucking tongue ring swirling around my cock. You're all I can think about. In fact, you were all I could think about before I even saw your gorgeous face. But after that happened, I was a goner." I caressed her cheek again. "Just spend time with me."
"If I told you I don't want to sleep with you, would you still want to see me?"
Closing my eyes briefly, I opened them and said, "I would respect that.
I've been hurt too many times in my life. I vowed not to give myself to anyone that way again unless I was sure of their intentions. So if you want to be with me, then there's no sex. You want to talk to me? Fine. You want to get to know me? Fine. But it stops there. Is that what you really want?
I want it all. But I'll take what I can get. For now.
So when is this going to happen?
Tonight. I'll pick you up and I'll take you on a real date that doesn't involve someone's decomposing body in the next room.
You're such a romantic.
I'll go along with the no-sex thing, but mark my words, when the time comes, I'm not going to be the one begging for it. For the rest of that day, the prospect of seeing her later consumed me. To pass the excruciating wait, I decided to write to ask Ida. Dear Ida, I'm seeing a woman who has made it clear that she doesn't want to have sex with me. The thing is, she doesn't know what she's going to be missing. I'm thinking there must be something I could do to change her mind. Stuck-up suit, Manhattan. About an hour later, a response showed up in my inbox. Dear Stuck-up Suit, I get the sense that perhaps you just assume that all women should want to open their legs to you. I am guessing there is a reason that this woman feels that having sex with you would be detrimental to her well-being. Maybe try getting to know her for a while. Give her a reason to trust you. Prove that you are invested. In the meantime, you should invest in a nice cold shower. Sounds like you're going to need it.
Chapter 7 Soraya. Soraya, where are we going? I'd left work an hour early to get ready. More than half the clothes I owned were in a heaping pile on my bed. Normally, whatever mood struck dictated my outfit. I wasn't finicky. To me, style was an expression of your own individual personality. Not following the latest trends from the runway or from one of the Kardashians. So it was freaking me the fuck out that I was on my 10th outfit. Graham. To a restaurant, unfortunately. Unless you've changed your mind, I'm more than accommodating if you'd prefer I feast on you at my place. If it were anyone else, all of the little pervy comments would piss me off. But for some reason, Graham's made me smile. My answer to his invitation to screw was always to screw with him. Soraya. Actually, maybe I have changed my mind. Graham. Give me your address. I'm still at the office, but can be there in 10 minutes wherever the hell you live. I chuckled at his desperation. As much as I thought he was full of himself, there was something very endearing about the honesty he displayed wanting to be with me. Normally, to a guy like him, showing desperation was a sign of weakness. It almost made me feel bad about toying with him. Almost. Soraya. I meant about us having dinner tonight. I'm not sure it's such a good idea. Graham. Bullshit. If you don't show up, expect a knock on your door. Soraya. You don't even know where I live. Graham. I'm a very resourceful man. Try me. Soraya. Fine, I'll be there. But you only gave me an address. Where are we going? I need to know what to wear. Graham. Wear whatever you're wearing right now. I looked down. Soraya. A hot pink lace bra and G-string? Where are you taking me, a strip club? It was a solid 5 minutes before he responded. Graham. Don't tell me shit like that. Soraya. Not a fan of hot pink? Graham. Oh, but I am. The shade will look lovely as a handprint on your ass if you don't stop messing with me. Spanking wasn't something I was ever into. Wasn't being the key word. Yet the thought of him stinging my ass had my body humming. I was growing aroused from a text. Jesus, this man was dangerous. Needing a break, I tossed the phone on my bed and dug back into my closet. A little black dress shoved in the back caught my eye. I'd bought it for a funeral. I cracked myself up, thinking I should have worn it the other night for my date with Aspen. When I slipped it from the hanger, my phone was flashing a new incoming text message had arrived. Graham, You've stopped responding. I'm going to take that to mean you're busy fantasizing about my hand swatting that fine ass. He had an uncanny ability to turn a simple question into something dirty. Saraya, I'm busy trying to figure out what to wear, which brings me back to the original question I texted. Where are we going? Graham, I made a reservation at Zenkichi. Saraya, in Brooklyn? Graham, yes, in Brooklyn, there's only one. You said you lived there, and since you refused to let me pick you up, I chose a place close to you. Saraya, wow, okay, great. I've wanted to try that place. It's sort of a pain in the ass for you to get to from your office, though. Graham, fitting, since you're such a pain in my ass. See you at 7. The subway station was about a block and a half from the restaurant. When I turned the corner, there was a black town car pulling up outside. I have no idea why, but I ducked into a doorway to watch the person get out. My gut told me it was Graham. My gut wasn't wrong. A uniformed driver got out and opened the back door, and Graham stepped out onto the sidewalk. God, the man oozed power. He was dressed in a different expensive suit than he was wearing this morning. The way his suits fit, there was no doubt that he had them custom made. Although it wasn't the fancy suit that he was wearing that gave him the air of supremacy. It was the way he wore the suit. Standing in front of the restaurant, he stood tall and confident. His chest was open and broad. Shoulders were back. Legs apart and firmly planted. He looked straight ahead, not fiddling with his phone or staring at his feet to avoid eye contact. One hand was in the pocket of his trouser pants, his thumb outside of the pocket. I liked the thumb hooked on the outside. I waited a few minutes, and when he eventually looked in the other direction, I slipped out from the doorway. When he turned back and caught sight of me, I became self-conscious of my walk. The way he watched every step I made, a part of me wanted to run the other way. But the other part of me liked the intensity of his stare. A lot. So, I tapped down my nerves, added some sway to my hips, and decided I would not be a mouse to his cat. I would be the dog. Graham? I nodded as I stopped in front of him.
Saraya?
He mimicked my business-like tone and nod. We stood looking at each other on the sidewalk, a safe distance between us for the longest minute in the history of minutes. Then he growled,
"Fuck this."
Stepping forward into my space, he wound a fistful of my hair around his hand, used it to tilt my head where he wanted it. Then his mouth devoured mine. For a split second, I tried to resist. But I was an ice cube trying to fight the heat from the sun. It was impossible. Instead, I melted right into the blinding light. If he hadn't wrapped his other hand snugly around my waist, there was a good chance I'd have been on the concrete. My mind wanted to fight him at every turn, but my body couldn't resist giving in. Traitor. He spoke over my lips when he finally released my mouth.
Fight it all you want. You'll be begging one day. Mark my words.
His arrogance brought me to my senses. You're so full of yourself.
I'd much rather be filling you.
Pig.
What's it say about you? You're wet for a pig.
I tried to push back from the grip he had wrapped around my waist, but it only made him clutch me tighter. I'm not wet. He arched an eyebrow.
Only one way to verify that.
Back off, Morgan. Graham took a step back and raised both his hands in surrender. There was a glint of amusement in his eyes. Inside, Zenkichi was dark and not what I had expected. The traditionally dressed Japanese woman led us down a long hall that was made to feel like outside. The walkway was lined with rocks and slate stones, as if we were walking a path through an outdoor Asian garden. Both sides were lined with tall bamboo and lit with lanterns. We passed an opening to a large seating area, but the hostess kept going. At the end of the hallway, she seated us in a private booth, enclosed with luxurious, thick drapes. After she had taken our drink order, she pointed out the buzzer built into the table and told us we would not be intruded on unless we wanted to be. Then, she disappeared, pulling the curtains closed. It felt like we were the only two people in the world instead of inside a busy, posh restaurant. This is beautiful. But odd, I said. Graham took off his jacket and settled into his side of the table with one arm casually slung over the top of the booth.
Fitting.
Are you saying I'm odd?
Are we going to fight about it if I say yes?
Probably.
Then, yes.
My brow furrowed. You want to fight with me? Graham tugged at his tie, loosening it.
I find it turns me on.
I laughed. I think you need counseling.
After the last few days, I believe you may be right.
The waitress returned with our drinks. She set a highball glass down in front of him and a wine glass in front of me. Graham had ordered Hendrick's and tonic. That's an old man's drink. Gin and tonic? I said as I sipped my wine. He swirled the ice around in his glass, then brought it to his lips and looked at me over the rim before drinking.
Remember what arguing with me does. You might want to look under the table.
My eyes widened. You aren't. He smirked and cocked an eyebrow.
Go ahead. Put your head under. I know you're dying to take a peek anyway.
After we both finished our drinks, and some of my nerves had started to calm, we finally had our first real conversation. One that wasn't about sex or tongue rings. So, how many hours do you work a day in that big, fancy office of yours?
I usually go in by 8 and try to leave by 8.
12 hours a day? That's 60 hours a week.
Not counting weekends.
You work weekends, too?
Saturdays.
So your only day off is Sunday?
I actually sometimes work in the evening on Sunday, too.
That's nuts! When do you find time to enjoy yourself?
I enjoy my work.
I scoffed. Didn't sound that way when I stopped in the other day. Everyone there seems afraid of you, and you refuse to open the door.
I was busy.
He folded his arms over his chest. I did the same. So was I. I took 2 trains to personally deliver that phone, you know. And you didn't have the decency to even come out and say thank you.
I didn't know what was behind the door waiting for me, or I would have come out.
A person. A person was behind the door. One who went out of her way for you. If I were a 60-year-old married woman with blue hair, you should have come out to thank me. He sighed.
I'm a busy man, Soraya.
Yet here you are on a weeknight at only 7 p.m. Shouldn't you be working until 8 if you're so busy?
I make exceptions when warranted.
How big of you? He arched an eyebrow.
You want to look under the table, don't you?
I couldn't help but laugh. Tell me something else about you. Aside from you're a workaholic with a superiority complex who drinks fancy drinks. All of that I could have guessed from my observations on the train.
What would you like to know?
Do you have any brothers or sisters?
No, I'm an only child.
I mumbled under my breath. Gee, I never would have guessed that one.
What did you say?
Nothing.
How about you?
One sister, but I'm not speaking to her at the moment.
And why is that?
Bad blind date.
She fixed you up?
Yep. with the guy who took you to the funeral. What's his name? Dallas? Aspen. No, she didn't fix me up with Aspen. I picked that disaster all on my own. She fixed me up with a guy she used to work with. Mitch.
And it didn't go well, I take it.
I fixed him with a stare. I nicknamed him High Pitch Mitch with the itch. He got a chuckle out of that.
Doesn't sound so good.
It wasn't. He squinted at me.
And will I have a nickname tomorrow?
Would you like one?
Not if it's anything like High Pitch Mitch with the itch.
Well, what did you have in mind? The wheels spun in his head for about 30 seconds.
Morgan with the big organ?
I rolled my eyes.
You can fact check under the table at any time.
He winked. I continued to try to get to know him, even though all roads led to between his legs. Any pets?
I have a dog.
Remembering the little dog from my snooping in his cell phone, I said, What kind of a dog? You seem like the type to have a big, scary one, like a Great Dane or a Neapolitan Mastiff. Something representative of what you keep goading me into looking at under the table. You know, big dog, big
The size of a dog is not a phallic symbol.
He interrupted. So it was his cute little dog in the pictures. Really? I think I read a study once that said men unknowingly purchase dogs that represent the true size of their penis.
My dog was my mother's. She passed away when he was a puppy 12 years ago.
I'm sorry. He nodded.
Thank you. Blackie is a West Highland Terrier.
Blackie? Is he black? The little dog in the photo had been white.
He's white, actually.
So why Blackie, to be facetious? Or is there another reason for the name? His response was clipped.
There's no other reason.
Just then, the waitress served our dinner. I ordered the bonito shutfish entree. Basically because the menu said it was for adventurous eaters only. And Graham ordered sashimi. Both our dishes looked more like art when they arrived. I hate to eat it. It's so beautiful.
I have the opposite problem. It's so beautiful, I can't wait to eat it.
His smirk told me his comment had nothing to do with his fancy-looking dinner. I shifted in my seat. We both dug into our meals. Mine was incredible. The fish literally melted in your mouth. Mmm, this is so good. Graham surprised me by reaching over and forking a piece from my plate. He didn't seem like a plate sharer. I watched him swallow, and he gave a small nod of approval. Then, I reached over and forked a piece of his meal. He smiled.
So, you've told me about Mitch the Itch and Funeral Boy. Do you date a lot?
I wouldn't say a lot. But I've met my fair share of assholes.
They were all assholes?
Not all of them. Some were nice guys, but just didn't work for me.
Didn't work for you? How so?
I shrugged. I just didn't feel that way about them. You know, like nothing more than a friend.
And do you have any more dates in your forthcoming calendar?
My forthcoming calendar? I let out a ladylike snort. You go from dirty talk to sounding like a snobby college professor pretty easily.
Does that annoy you?
I thought about my answer for a moment. I wouldn't say annoy, more like amuse.
I'm amusing?
Yes. Yes, you are.
Pretty sure I've never been called amusing before.
I bet that's because most people only see the asshole you show on the outside.
That implies that I'm more than just an asshole on the inside.
Our eyes locked when I responded. For some reason, I believe that you are. that there is more to you than just an asshole with a sexy exterior.
You think I'm sexy?
He grinned, full of himself. Of course I do. I mean, look at you. You have a mirror? I'm guessing you figured that out all by yourself by now. It must not be difficult to fill up the evenings on your forthcoming calendar.
Are you always such a wise ass?
Pretty much. He shook his head and grumbled something.
Speaking of forthcoming calendars, I would like yours cleared of any more dates. Other than me, of course.
We're halfway through our first date. And you're telling me, not asking me, to not date other people? He straightened in his seat.
You told me you weren't going to sleep with me. That we were going to date and get to know each other. Does that still stand?
It does.
Well, if I'm not fucking you, no one else should be either.
How romantic.
It's a deal-breaker for me.
And that would go both ways? You wouldn't be seeing anyone else either?
Of course.
Let me think about it. His eyebrows jumped in surprise.
You need to think about it?
I do. I'll get back to you on it. It was, without a shadow of a doubt, the first time that Graham J. Morgan was not getting his way with a woman. Hours later, my phone buzzed in my bag. It was Delia checking on me since she knew I was out on a first date. I shot off a quick text to let her know I was safe and glanced at the time on my phone. We had been sitting in the restaurant for more than 3 hours. It wasn't lost on me that it was the first time I had even thought about my phone. Well, you were right about one thing.
You'll have to be more specific. I'm right about most things.
I shook my head. And here I was about to give you a compliment, and you go and ruin it with your arrogant self.
I believe arrogance is when you have an exaggerated sense of your own abilities. I don't exaggerate. I would be a realist.
Stuck-up suit is truly a fitting name for you, isn't it? Ignoring me, he asked,
What was the compliment?
When we were texting during my funeral date the other night, you said if I were with you, I wouldn't care where my cell phone was. Until it buzzed just now, I hadn't even noticed I never took it out. That pleased him. A little while later, Graham paid the bill and I made a quick stop in the ladies' room. Freshening up, it struck me that I really didn't want our date to end. The thought brought an almost melancholy feeling that surprised me. Outside of the restaurant, Graham's black car was already curbside. He must have had it waiting and called the driver when I went to the restroom.
If you're not going to come home with me, I insist on at least giving you a ride home to your place.
The subway is right around the corner. I'm good. He shot me an annoyed glance.
Give a little, Soraya. It's a ride home, not a ride on my cock. And I think you know by now that I'm not a serial killer.
You're so crass. He put his hand on the small of my back and steered me to the waiting open car door. I didn't put up a fight. Graham was right. I was being stubborn while he had pretty much agreed to anything I demanded. Something told me it was a rare occasion when the man was this flexible. When we arrived at my apartment, Graham walked me to the door.
When will I see you again?
Well, tomorrow is Saturday, so I suppose maybe Monday, on the train?
Have dinner with me again tomorrow?
I have plans. His jaw flexed.
With whom?
We embarked into a lengthy stare-off. His gaze was hard. When neither of us gave for a few minutes, he grumbled Christ under his breath, and before I realized what was happening, my back was against the door, and his mouth was on mine. He kissed me as if he wanted to eat me alive. Before releasing my mouth, he took my lower lip between his teeth and tugged. Hard. With his lips vibrating against mine, he spoke.
Don't push me to my limit, Soraya.
Why? What will happen?
I'll push back. And I'm trying not to do that with you.
He was being honest, and I realized I should appreciate that. To my sister's house. It's my niece's birthday party. That's where I'm going tomorrow night. He nodded.
Thank you.
It took every bit of my willpower to go inside and shut the door behind me. I leaned my back against the door, unable to remember the last time I was so hot and bothered. Maybe not ever. His mouth was sinful. The thought of what he could do with that wicked tongue other places on my body kept me in a state of arousal that bordered on frenzied. But it was more than that. The way he was so dominating and controlling, yet exercised restraint to respect my wishes, was the sexiest thing I'd ever seen. The man stimulated something that had been sleeping inside of me. I needed a glass of wine and an orgasm. Not necessarily in that order. If I was going to be firm on my stance that we get to know each other and not have sex, then taking things into my own hands was absolutely essential. In my bedroom, I stripped out of my clothes. I didn't sleep naked every night, but tonight was definitely a bare evening. As I slipped into bed, my cell rang.
Is phone sex on the table?
Graham's voice was a needy rasp. Whatever cooling off my body had done since I left him on the other side of the door was instantly reheated. His voice could definitely speed things up for me. But sex is off the table. That should probably include all types of sex. Intercourse, oral, phone. He groaned.
Oral. God, I want to taste you and feel that metal tongue ring on my cock. You have no idea how difficult it was to control myself tonight every time I caught a glimpse of that metal when you spoke. It's like you're taunting me with every word. What are you wearing, Soraya?
That voice. I needed to record him saying, "What are you wearing, Soraya?" So I could play it over and over again in a loop when I needed to satisfy my own needs. I'm actually not wearing anything. I just got undressed and slipped into bed.
You sleep naked?
Sometimes. He actually growled.
Touch yourself.
I plan to, but I think I'm going to need both hands tonight, so I'm going to have to hang up first.
How long do you plan on driving me crazy, Soraya?
Good night, Graham. I hung up without waiting for him to respond. Even though my body physically ached for the man, I wasn't ready to open that door with him just yet. Although as I glided my hand down my body, alone in my bed, the only thing I could think of was, God, I wish it was his hand.
Chapter 8. Graham. I didn't hear from her all day Saturday, not that I'd expected to. Soraya Venedetta was intent on driving me fucking nuts. I'd never been in this position before. I'd relentlessly pursued business ventures that I wanted until they inevitably gave in when I sweetened the pot and gave an offer they couldn't refuse. But pursuing a woman was new to me. Sure, there were a few who made me chase for a first date, but by the end of the night, I was always certain what it was that made them tick. They wanted to be wined and dined, flattery, a business connection, a certain lifestyle. It wasn't ever difficult to figure out. Until now. What makes you tick, Soraya Venedetta? The more the woman pissed me off, the more I wanted her. By 10 in the evening, I couldn't resist any longer. I was turning into an aggrieved pussy. Graham, how was your party? She responded a few minutes later. It gave me some sense of peace that she wasn't so enraptured with someone she met that she stopped checking her phone. Soraya, on the train home now. Have I mentioned I don't like clowns? Graham. You haven't, but I think that is a pretty common phobia. Soraya. My little monster of a niece wasn't scared in the slightest. Figures. What did you do tonight?